One day, Ram understood that Sita was pregnant. He expressed his great pleasure. O lovely princess, is there any desire within your heart that you feel has not yet been gratified? Oh, do inform me if there is, for I shall fulfill your every wish without fail. O my Lord, in your association, all my desires have been abundantly fulfilled. However, since you are asking, I admit I have a strong desire to visit the ashram of the rishis who are situated on the banks of the river Ganga. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances to all the great saints living there. Oh, my dear Sita, please know that very soon you will have the opportunity to visit the rishis in the forest. Thereafter, Ram entered the royal assembly and engaged in joking and light conversation with his advisors. Ram then asked Bharda, "So tell me, what do the citizens talk about these days? What do they say about Sita, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna? How do they feel about our mother, Kaikeyi? And what do they say about myself? Indeed, kings are always the topic of criticism for the people in general. O Lord, everyone praises your victory over the ten-headed Ravana. They acclaim you as the greatest of all heroes. All right, but now tell me truthfully what they say. For only by knowing matters as they are can one curtail one's faults and thus endeavor for self-improvement. O Bharda, there is no need for you to be afraid, for I have already understood that envious people are spreading rumors about me all throughout Ayodhya. Why, indeed, I have even heard personally some people criticize me for taking back a woman who remained so long in the house of another. Whether good or bad, I do not know. However, this is what people are saying in the marketplaces and in the city streets. Oh, Ram has performed an extraordinary feat by bridging the ocean and vanquishing the powerful Ravana. However, has it occurred to him that he has brought home a woman who was abducted by the Rakshasa king and forced to sit upon his lap? And does Ram not feel disgust at enjoying a woman who remained with Ravana for almost one entire year? And so you see, my lord, these are the things people are speaking about you." Shocked and dismayed to hear this, Ram then asked the other ministers if what Bharda had said was true, and they all confirmed it was so. Ram was fully aware of Sita's complete purity and innocence, but he could not tolerate the shame of having to hear people who were mocking him in this way. And so Ram made up his mind to abandon his unsuspecting wife and then called for Lakshman. "Oh, my brother, I am very much agitated. Please listen with great attention, for what I have to say is indeed most painful. I have just learned that some citizens of Ayodhya are condemning me for taking Sita back from the kingdom of Lanka. Just see how distressed I have become. I have appeared in the royal dynasty of Ikshvaku, and thus any taint of dishonor to my name brings me more grief than the thought of even death itself. After killing Ravana, I also considered, how can I take Sita back to Ayodhya? It was just to allay these doubts that I made the princess of Vidarbha enter the fire in the presence of all the demigods and rishis. Vayu and Agni declared that Sita was pure, and within my heart I also knew she was chaste. So I accepted her back. But now, however, rumors are spreading everywhere, and I am being blamed in my own kingdom. O Lakshman, a person who is the target of rumors suffers great humiliation and defamation. Ill deeds are always condemned, and that is what motivates the noble-minded towards good acts. I am ready to give up my life if necessary, in order to avoid public scandal. Indeed, I am ready to renounce you, my dear brother, for ensuring my good name and reputation. Thus, what can be said of Sita? Oh, I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow, for never before have I experienced such misfortune. Lakshman, tomorrow at dawn, you must take Sita to the banks of the Ganga and take her on a tour of the ashrams of the great rishis. Then, I want you to abandon her near the hermitage of the great sage Valmiki, which is on the banks of the river Tamasa. And then I want you to return to Ayodhya alone. Oh, my dear brother, you must carry out this order without any argument, for any slight hesitation on your part will bring me the greatest displeasure. Indeed, let it be known that anyone who objects to my decision immediately becomes my most bitter enemy. Besides, just a little while ago, Sita told me herself that she is very eager to visit all the ashrams along the banks of the Ganga. So go now and fulfill her desire. Lakshman became broken-hearted to hear Ram speak like this. However, since Lakshman was the obedient servant of his elder brother, he assented without hesitation. Early the next morning, Lakshman went to Sita. Your husband has ordered me to fulfill your desire. I shall now escort you to the banks of the Ganga so that you can worship the great rishis residing there. Sumantra is ready with the chariot, and so I request you to come at once. Sita was delighted, and after putting on her finest dress and most exquisite jewelry, Sita told Lakshman, Oh, I shall distribute these and other gifts to the wives of the great sages. Lakshman then helped Sita onto the chariot, and they quickly departed. However, while going along, Sita began speaking anxiously. Oh, Lakshman, my left eye has suddenly begun twitching, and my mind feels strangely uneasy. Suddenly, I feel very weak, and the earth itself seems to have taken a gloomy aspect. Oh, I hope Ram is all right. Then Sita prayed to the demigods for the welfare of her husband and other relatives. Lakshman then said in a voice choked with tears, Yes, and I hope you too will not meet with any misfortune. By evening, Sita, Lakshman, and Sumantra reached the banks of the river Gomati and spent the night there. Early the next morning, they continued their journey. By the afternoon, they came to the banks of the Ganga. Upon dismounting their chariot, however, Lakshman broke down and cried, for he could no longer contain his grief. Feeling great concern, Sita inquired, Oh, Lakshman, what is wrong? Now that we have reached our destination, why, you should be happy. Indeed, your sadness makes me uneasy. Have just 2 days of separation from Ram brought you this much anguish? I love Ram dearly, and yet I have not become so disturbed. So please compose yourself, for we must now cross the Ganga to have the audience of the great rishis. Thereafter, we can quickly return to Ayodhya, for I also long to see Ram. After wiping the tears from his eyes, Lakshman arranged for a boat and escorted Sita across the Ganga. Upon reaching the other side, Lakshman tearfully confessed, "O Princess of Vidarbha, the all-good Lord Ram has entrusted me with a most painful task. Indeed, by performing this duty, I shall become infamous in the eyes of the whole world. It would have been better if I had died rather than execute your husband's order. O noble lady, please forgive me for what I am being forced to do." Lakshman then fell to the ground, weeping bitterly. With great indignation, Sita asked,
"Lakshman, what is the matter? I cannot understand what you are saying. Please tell me clearly what is troubling you. Has some great misfortune befallen Ram that you do not have the courage to tell me?"
And with his head bowed low, Lakshman replied in a voice choked with tears, "While sitting in the royal court, Ram learned that rumors were circulating throughout Ayodhya, accusing him of impropriety. Everywhere people blame Ram for accepting you back, and this public censure pains him unbearably. O Sita, I know that you are faultless, and so does Ram. Therefore, do not misunderstand the king, for he has been forced to relinquish you in order to maintain the good name of the Ikshvaku dynasty. O Princess of Vidarbha, do not be broken-hearted, for the abodes of the Brahmarshis that are situated on the banks of the Ganga are celestially beautiful. You should take shelter of the great sage Valmiki, for he was a good friend of your father-in-law, Maharaj Dasharatha. You should always think of Ram within your heart and remain unflinchingly devoted to him. And in this way, you will attain the highest happiness, O Janaki." Upon hearing of her cruel destiny, Sita immediately fainted. Then, coming to her senses, Sita pitifully cried out,
"Now I can see that this life was awarded to me simply for suffering. What great sin did I commit in the past? What poor girl's marriage did I obstruct to now cause Ram to cast me off? I faithfully followed my husband into exile and remained content despite innumerable hardships. O Lakshman, how shall I be able to survive here alone? And what will I tell the rishis when they ask me why I was abandoned? What wrong have I done? I would gladly end my life by throwing myself into the Ganga, but that would bring about the end of Ram's dynasty."
Becoming now somewhat more composed, Sita told Lakshman,
"I know that you are merely carrying out your duty, so I do not blame you. Go back to Ayodhya now and offer my respects to my mothers-in-law. Touch the feet of my husband and please deliver the following message.
O Ram, you know that my devotion has always been fixed upon you without deviation. You know of my chastity and my unfailing love. Still, from fear of dishonor and shame, you have now spurned me. O Ram, my Lord and only refuge, you should not have done so. My dear husband, I do not grieve for my own misfortune, for I know that I am faultless. For a chaste woman, the husband is as good as God. Therefore, I must accept that whatever you may order is best for my welfare, even if it means giving up my life." Lakshman then circumambulated Sita and crossed to the Ganga's opposite shore. As Lakshman mounted his chariot, he turned his head just to have one last glimpse of Sita.
And likewise, Sita gazed sorrowfully at Lakshman as he receded into the distance. Then, alone and unprotected, Sita fell to the ground, crying uncontrollably.